What's happening to me?
Whenever I think about him, I get this funny feeling.
Right. See you later.
I can't take my eyes off you for a second, can I?
Here we go.
Welcome to Remember 64, where this week, man, are we mega. Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is David Petrangelo. This is Remember 64. And what is this thing on my arm? Why am I wearing this weird blue suit? It seems like I'm ready to go to war, but I don't even have a helmet on. Well, at least I have this really cool spiky hair. Feels like maybe I should have some frosted tips. Ooh, let's go, 90s. Oh, wait, it's 2001. Ah, geez, I'm way too late for this. Well, if that little quip made any sense to you whatsoever, you may have guessed that we are playing and chatting about Mega Man 64, or as it's known on other consoles like the PlayStation, Mega Man Legends. That's right, we are digging into this really weird anime-style game for the late console cycle release for the N64. This is Remember 64, everyone, and momentarily I will be joined by Danny from Retro Wars once again. This was the next game that popped up on the spinning wheel of goodies for us to play. We pick a random number on a number generator, and then we just match that up with the release dates, and boom, here we are, Mega Man 64. And because I usually forget about this in the other sort of, you know, formats that I have for Remember 64, I always forget to plug the Patreon page. I always forget to ask people to rate Remember 64 on their podcast app of choice. So this is my moment to shine, so to speak. Remember 64 can be found on Patreon for support as little as $1 a month. Anywhere between that and just a couple bucks more, you will be able to get all episodes early on video and audio versions. You'll be get some extra content as well that I'm going to be working on. And reviews and comments on games that are not N64 related. All of that on Patreon, and it just helps the show continue to grow, and a little couple extra bucks our way here as well for myself and Jiggy Look Back. So always a great time, and if you don't want to support the show monetarily, or you can't, not a problem, you can also give us a rating on your podcast app choice. Of course, Apple and Spotify are the main places to do that, and on top of that, tell your friends. Send them a link, let them know that the show is out there, and you know what? There's a lot of great nerds that grew up with this console and this console life cycle and around this time, so let's continue to grow the community and look back at games like this, like Mega Man. As well, you can also find video versions of most of the episodes, nearly all of them, trying to catch up and get some more up there, at our YouTube channel, Remember 64 on YouTube, so check that out, and lots of extra content as well, including some menu music to chill to, a little bit of tunes to kind of pop in your ear as you fall asleep at night, trying to find some cool menu music out there on the N64 that is not so bombastic and just sort of chill to listen to. You can put it on in the background, stuff like that. Also, gameplay video as well for games like this and many others. So you can check those out. Some of my gameplay out there for almost all of the games that we've had recently. And you can just laugh at how terrible I am at a lot of these. But that's pretty much it. Remember 64 out there on your podcast feed. Tell your friends, give us a rating, support us on Patreon, check us out on YouTube, and Remember 64 show across social media as well. So, where do we begin with Mega Man 64? That is the question. Essentially, what this comes down to is this is a game that came out over 3 years after its initial release on the PlayStation, and just a couple of years after the Japan release, and I don't even know where to start with this. You'll definitely hear Danny and I speak about this in a couple of moments here, but I just will tell you that it's definitely an interesting game, and we're going to dig right into it. So you know what? I'm not going to beat around the bush. Let's jump into it, everybody. Let's play and talk about Mega Man 64.
Who will save us?
Mega Man!
Join him on his ultimate quest in 3D! You are his friends,
who are his enemies.
Danger lurks around every corner.
Mega Man uses awesome firepower to battle diabolical forces.
Amazing homestop blasting action.
Who can save the cities from destruction? Don't call a plumber. It's all in a day's work for Mega Man.
Let's do it!
Capcom.
Now, I remember at the time when we did the wheel, and I was like, oh no, because it looks shit. The first screenshot, I was like, this looks terrible. And then played it, completed it, followed a guide, and then you find out, or I found out very quickly, hang on, this actually is not Mega Man 64, a new game. It's Mega Man Legends that came out for the PlayStation 1. It's just a port of it.
I had no idea. I've seen... I think what it is that I just assumed it was the exact same game that came out at the exact same time because I recognized the cover. As a kid, I never played this game on either of these consoles, and I didn't really know much about it, not going to lie. I kind of went in and thinking, oh, it's Mega Man. I know it's 3D. That much I knew. But one of my earliest memories of this game is seeing it on the shelf at whatever store I was in around that time to purchase games for 64 or rent them or whatever. The price tag on this thing at that time when this game was out was, I think it was $80 or $90 for the cartridge.
Wow.
You know, sometimes that comes into play with like imports and things. Like, I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but I just remember thinking like, I already am so on Mega Man games. I'm not just going to give this a shot. I should rent it, if anything. And then I never got around to it. So this was my first time playing it. Was it for you? Is this your first time going through it?
Yeah, it was my first time playing it because I've never been a big Mega Man fan. And it's just because they weren't on my radar. Like, the only games I played before were, for the show, were Mega Man X and Mega Man Battle Network. They were the only Mega Man games I played. So this was the third one.
Oh,
and
wow.
And as I found out very quickly, this is like another world where you've got Mega Man, the NES games, then you've got the X series, which are on the Super Nintendo. The Legend, so the Network series is its own world as well. And Legends is its own world. So I think there's four different actual dimensions and timelines of Mega Man. So this is completely different. I don't know what I was expecting, but it doesn't follow any of the actual previous games at all. No Robot Masters, none of that. It's an RPG, which is like, I wasn't used to this. I wasn't ready for that.
I didn't really think it was like going in that it would be, that would have RPG elements. I just assumed like, oh, they'll take the controls and, you know, some of the baddies and enemies and stuff like that, and you'll sort of just play it in more of a 3D plane and stuff. And honestly, this is to me, based on the character models, based on the world, a little bit the story, you know, just the way things are presented and stuff. This is like a Mega Man anime game. That's what it felt like.
Yes. It's a really Mega Man anime.
Yeah. And it looks like that. Some of the voice acting is kind of like that. I know it's sort of hard to sort of translate things sometimes. The voice acting is very hit and miss depending on what scene you're doing and stuff, but it felt like that. So I actually like the fact that it felt like it was that, like an anime, which is not generally my thing, but like an anime style come to life, which, you know, it's not smooth edges because it's a 64, it doesn't look fantastic, but just the fact that they did that, I was like, okay, I kind of get what they're doing with this direction, and I appreciated that part of it. It's things that come after or added on to the presentation that I'm like, meh, so with, but yeah.
This is the thing. This game is so they came out as Legends on the PlayStation.
Yeah.
And that was 3 to 4 years prior to this game coming out.
So crazy.
Like, that's naughty. That is literally a huge cash grab. And when you think of it, let's look at, you know, time-wise. So Legends came out on the PlayStation before Majora's Mask. Sorry, before Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
Okay? So we'll talk about the camera, the movement, the targeting. This is before Ocarina of Time. Mega Man 64 came out after Majora's Mask, after the PlayStation 2 had just been released.
It doesn't add up, man. It just does not add up.
It's a very shitty cash grab.
Very shitty cash grab by
What's
Capcom.
Interesting with that as well is that maybe it is, but I also find it hard to believe that they were really that sure that this many people were going to buy and play this game. It just doesn't, it doesn't sell, or it doesn't scream, hey, this is Mega Man, as much as what I am familiar with, which is the first 3 to 4 and the X series. And no, I'm not very good at them. Like, to me, Mega Man is Mega Man X, X2, and the first few, which are the ones that I always played growing up, or at least tried to play, because I suck at them. To me, this doesn't... It's just the cover alone. It's like, hey, it's Mega Man, and he doesn't have his helmet on. It's like, this is just some kid in a blue suit.
It's... Oh. The thing that you see the box art, he doesn't have it. It's just him, like, turned in a 3D mode. The box art's fucking dreadful. It looks disgusting.
It's brutal.
It's boring.
It's boring. It's 100% boring. That could be one of the reasons when I mentioned that story before of me seeing it on the shelf. It was just like, well, yeah, I can look at a couple of the screenshots on the back, or I can look at it maybe in Nintendo Power or GamePro or something. Like, maybe I could see, like, screenshot, but I'm not going to seek out and maybe, like, grab this game off the Blockbuster shelf, for example, to even rent, if it just looks like I don't know, some kid with spiky hair. Like, it just doesn't sell it very well. And I know that's not the only reason why this may not be as much of a cash grab as I may assume it is, but it also just doesn't sell itself well even to start. So if you were to rent this game, I don't know that those first few hours or couple hours would have gotten me to grab onto it and be like, oh, hell yeah, I am in. I have to rent this again next weekend.
Well, it's in the Japanese box art. Is at least decent. It's a bit of a cartoony thing. Like, you can see,
I didn't even look at that.
I'm going to look
at that now.
I've looked at the Japanese one. It's way better. Like, put that on.
Often they are.
You want to sell this game as an anime game, use the Japanese box art, and I would have been more interested.
Oh, it's way better. Yeah, it looks, you're right. It looks like a sort of thumbnail that you'd see on you know, a streaming service nowadays for an anime, for example. Like, it's right there. It looks great.
There we go. See? Way better. Yeah. And, it's just terrible. Like, okay, it is basically Mega Man with anime. That's it. I suppose you should talk about the plot, because there is a plot. And
yes,
it's a bit more detailed than it is. Most Mega Man games don't really have, like, a bare bones plot. This thing, full-blown anime. So basically, the world's been flooded, and now society is kind of stabilized, and it's like Waterworld. We're basically Waterworld. what's the Zelda? You know, the Wind Waker. Basically,
oh, Wind
that's
Waker,
the situation
yeah.
we're in. Yeah. So society's now resolved itself, but basically, the world's fucked. So I imagine billions died. And basically, they have these people who dig to find these things called refractors. And you're part of this team of diggers. And the whole point is that someone, you know, is basically hoping that there's a legend of the Motherlode. Which will provide endless energy. And you, as part of a digger team, are trying to find these refractors, like energy cores, to make money. And you're partnered with Roll and her grandpa. And that's the plot, basically, to begin with, until you crash on an island. Your ship, the Flutter, falls on an island called Catalog. And it basically starts off with, we better just help get our stuff sorted, get our ship sorted. And then you land on this island and you realize, hang on, considering the world's meant to be pretty fucked, this Catalog island's doing pretty well. It's like a whole city. It's like everyone seems fine.
Oh, it's like a whole full-on civilization thing. They got a mall, they got streets, they got everything's good. Yeah, it doesn't seem all that bad. They got a nice forest. Like, it doesn't seem too bad.
They've got a government. They've got everything.
Yeah, they got a government,
They've got a government. You can play mini-games where you can kick a dog. I might as well get into that. You can kick a dog. And basically, it then divulges into the island's going to get destroyed. It's like, whoa, and it's going to be purged. Holy shit, this jumped up a notch. And pure anime. And it really is. And I didn't mind that. I was like, great. Give me something to sink my teeth into. I thought the plot was okay. I thought it was okay. I was like, that's fine.
I agree. I actually think, like, to me, I mean, you've played the Battle Network games. I think those have a little bit of a story to them. I don't know. I've never played them. But for me, Mega Man is, okay, you're Mega Man. You're there to just take out these bosses and do these stages, get your powers, and that's the game, right? Totally fine. I'm good with that. Like, I need, like, simplicity works for me, especially when they were out in the mid-90s and early 90s. Great. I'm all for it. So I never really, like, I expected there'd be some sort of story here. And they, yeah, you're right. They, like, they went for it. And I think, you know, it goes some really wacky places, which sort of plays into the anime thing. But to set it up, I think it's pretty good. I think the getting off on the wrong foot kind of thing to me is that there's not a whole lot to do with the gameplay when you start. But when the story starts and starts ramping up and takes some turns here and there, those things still kind of work, even if they were a little bit insane every once in a while. So I agree. And I will say, one of my favorite parts of the story happens literally right off the bat. And I think it's even before you start the game, but it's definitely when you start a new game, is the way that they read the sort of story crawl at the beginning. The person that reads that is just, I don't know, they are hamming it up. Like, it is, I don't know if that's on purpose or not. I mean, I guess they're supposed to. But man, it is so goofy. it's funny. I loved it.
Yeah, if you want to go, what the fuck is this game? Listen to the opening story crawl. Yeah. The guy, whoever they decided to hire that, said, they're coming for the Motherlode.
In a world covered by endless water, people are forced to eke out a living on the small patches of land that remain above the sea. However, over the years, the story of a fabulous treasure, the legendary Mother Lode, began to be whispered among the diggers.
It's like, what the fuck?
It's like, you know, it's what, like, it is? It's like he's trying to tell a story to a little kid, and they can't find the book that they're supposed to read that night before bed. So he has to, like, create the scene with all these voices and all this different tone. And, like, I was just like, I could close my eyes and probably picture what this dude's trying to say. It's hilarious.
Hope. Despair. Charity. Greed. Duty. Power. Who can say what truly motivates the digger?
And the problem is like, one of the huge problems, this thing is all voice acted, and I'll praise a lot of the voice acting, but on the N64, the audio is dreadful. It's one of the worst I've ever heard.
Yeah.
So, whereas the PlayStation version, I went and had a look, the PlayStation version sounds nice and crisp. You've got that CD quality, right? This is what the N64 sounds like. I have a cushion because my chair's shit behind me.
This is the Motherlode. The Motherlode is where Mega Man and his crew are going to save shit.
That's what it sounds like the whole time.
Okay, Mega Man, I'm coming.
This is like, thank fuck for text, because it's so bad.
What's up, Mega Man? What's up?
That's what it sounds like. It's terrible. It's so bad. And then you see it on... You go back to the PlayStation version just to compare. You're like, holy shit, that sounds amazing. This
Massive
is three
difference.
Years later?
Yeah. Yeah. It just points to the limitations of the cartridge, right? And why,
yes.
I think around this time, which is, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, and Nintendo just kept banging their head against the wall with cartridges and the only ones doing it. I mean, obviously until the GameCube, but... It just shows you that, like, they packed a decent amount into this game. Like, it is not a small game. There's a lot of characters. There's a lot of voice acting. There is a decent amount of it. It's like, I would say 70% of it's like voice acted, which I fully appreciate for sure. And you know, it's not a short game, and there's a decent amount of stuff going on in a lot of the scenes and stuff. But, like, yeah, unfortunately, the voice acting is there, but it's. It just, yeah, it sounds like they're talking through a pillow, just like you said. Absolutely.
And the N64, I think, also struggles because, like, graphically, okay, you have to remember at the time when this game came out. I give it a pass for Legends, but I don't give it a pass then for N64. Sorry, for the Mega Man 64 because of the time difference. So it doesn't look that good, like, when you consider it was the end of the N64 lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's got its problems. Like, don't get me wrong, I like how the characters, they because they're anime-esque, they can have a lot of emotions on their face. Yep. That's great. Yep. That's yep. fine.
I agree.
The game itself looks very, very old. It looks very of its time. And again, as I said, if it was Legends, I'd give it the pass. Mm-hmm. And you look, the buildings look basic. The enemies look quite good designs, but it's all clunky and squarey and stuff. But when you play the N64 version and you go through towns and stuff, to show how much the game can't manage, when you look at things in the distance, it has that South Park approach where there's like this white mist. Yep. And when you basically go up to it, then the white mist disappears. And I was like, fuck, that just looks so shit.
Yeah.
And then again, you go to the PlayStation version and there's no white mist.
The footage I looked at, it's like significantly less. Like every once in a while there is some, because it's part of sort of programming the game to be able to handle, you know, distance and all that. So this whole like fog of war thing, like I get why it's there. But it's so much, like you can't see more than probably 20 feet in front of your character at all times. It's wild.
It's so bad on the Mega Man 64. It's so bad, the fog of war. It's barely there on the PlayStation, and it makes it such a better looking game. And I was like sitting there going, cursing you, going, you fucker, why didn't you just make me play Mega Man Legends instead? Why didn't you play Mega Man 64? It's like, Jesus.
Because I have a 64 podcast. I'm so sorry, Danny. I'm so sorry.
Well, that's change direction. There should be like pivot. Just pivot. If there's a better version, it came out before.
Mega Man 64. Switch. Yeah, Mega Man 64 is going to make me pivot to a completely different console. Never mind just this one game.
Yeah, the show is gone. The show has changed. If there was ever a time I looked at an N64 and gone, I hate you, it was this moment. You know what the funny thing is, right? So on my Patreon, Chris made this big thing about one of our patrons, Chris Goplin, from the Retro Hangover podcast. There's your plug. He always gets
there. It is.
There it is. Now, he mentioned I hate N64. I said, I don't hate the N64. I like the N64. I had an N64. Playing this game made me think I hate the N64.
Dude, there's aspects of this. We'll get into the gameplay in just a sec, but there's aspects of the way that this looks. Like, it's unfortunate, right? Because we both seem to enjoy the anime features of this and the anime approach to this. Like, the art style, the aesthetics in this, I think work, even though they don't feel like those classic 2D Mega Man games that, you know, I could say that I was used to or we were used to. That's totally fine. If you're going in a different direction, especially once I learned, like you mentioned earlier, that this is like a completely different timeline and sort of universe or whatever you want to call it, then it's fine. Go with a different style, go with a different sort of take on things. Great, no problem. But it's just, so much of it is hindered by the fact that this game is a few years old and the fact that the cartridge just limits them from doing things like this. Because I think, yes, the voice acting would have been there anyways, it seems like, but it would have been so much better if there was more, or it was clearer, or when you're running through some of these cities or towns or underground areas, they didn't just look like, oh, a couple of posts standing in the middle of the street happen to be buildings and you're underground. And I honestly, some underground spots, I couldn't even tell where the door was because the wall looked the same as the door. Like, they just look so ugly underground, and they just spend so much time in these underground areas that I don't need to have an open world, quote unquote, open world sort of thing. Like some of the missions are in this game, but I actually would prefer Mega Man in a tighter space, but the tighter spaces in this game don't look good at all. And it's unfortunate because some stuff looks good enough, and then you have the fog, and then you, like, it's a shame. It's a shame with that, because I think this could be something that would look and feel a lot better. But it's too of its time, and its time was 3 years prior to when this was released.
Yes.
Or more.
100%. And because the dungeons look dreadful. The dungeons,
they're
just boring. They're boring and generic. And it's, again, they're a product of their time.
Yeah.
And we haven't even talked about essentially the gameplay, because the gameplay is essentially, like, if you're used to that Mega Man 2D style, it's not. It's completely 3D. and it's more of a third-person perspective. Mega Man's right in front of you.
Yep.
His control style isn't great. Again, product of a time. Like, he had tank controls. They were still trying to get used to things. You can't go left and right, per se. You'd have to turn the camera to get him to move, which... that takes some getting used to.
It's very clunky. Like, when you say tank controls, it's like, this is like a blue tank with spiky hair in front of you. Like, that's what it feels like at times. I got used to, I don't know, did you play with the, on a 64 controller at all, or on a particular controller when you played it?
You know, I've got an N64 controller, I've got a PC one, so that's, I don't know.
Okay, so did you use the joystick, or did you use the D-pad?
I used the D-pad.
Yeah, okay, because the joystick, the analog stick was what I went to automatically, and I was like, okay, this...
Yes,
this,
you would.
Of course, it's 3D game or whatever, you know, I feel like... But with the way that you turn the camera and he sort of does his, like, side strafe step type of thing, it just made so much more sense and just felt right doing it on the D-pad. So if anyone is going to go out and play this game, I just automatically grab the controller on the left and right side. Just ignore the middle of it. Unfortunately, like, it would be nice to be able to utilize that part of the controller, but it's not necessary. And because it's so tanky, just use a D-pad. That'd be my recommendation.
It's the first time in all my years of ever playing an N64, I held the control that way. I've never held a control that way ever.
Oh,
before.
See, I'm used to doing that with the wrestling games. All the wrestling games do that. And I'm a big fan of, like, the WWF and WCW games. Like, I grew up with a bunch of them and stuff too. So I'm used to that. But for the most part, no, you're using the joystick, and you're encouraged to in most games, or you have to. So
this was so weird. I was like, I don't know. I've got this middle bit. It's now got a penis. It's that I don't like it. I'm holding his legs and it's got a penis. I don't like it.
What's this third leg doing? Concept. Oh my god.
It's a new concept to me. But you mentioned the strafe. You could strafe, yeah, you can. And, like, literally my strategy for this whole thing was just use Mega Man's Buster Gun as pea shooter and strafe. Any enemy, any boss, strafe around them. That was my tactic. Repeat.
It's the only way, though, man. It's the only way. I don't understand how else you could succeed, especially in the boss battles, which we'll talk about boss battles in a little bit. But I think, like, because they have such a large health bar, because there's sometimes multiple stages to them or different, you know, abilities or whatever you got to watch out for. The only, like, they shoot at you and they are sort of, they have a little bit of a tank control too, some of them. So, like, all you have to do is keep moving. And they have to kind of turn awkwardly just like you do. So I understand that might, like, balance things a little bit so you don't feel like you're being outmatched constantly. But the problem is the pea shooter, his blaster, I keep forgetting what the name of it is. Buster, is that what it's called? Basically, his gun arm is just...
Gun arm, gun arm, his regular one, which doesn't run out of energy, which is fine all day long.
Yeah, but it's just like, pew, 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 and that's it. And it doesn't only sound like that, it feels like you're only doing pew, pew, pew type of damage. Like, it just feels like you're not making any progress most of the time. And it, unfortunately, like, it would be nice, and, like, yes, you do pick up, you know, collectibles, and you do have different sort of things you can do later on and stuff, but it still felt a little too repetitive, especially on some of the longer fights where you're trying to figure out, like, there's different tasks you have to do to kind of save a city or something like that. And it's like, I get what they're going for, but the way that they make you do the combat and just how he shoots
just felt tedious. Not good.
Yeah.
And the thing is, though, it's got, you do have the ability to get extra guns. Now, in the usual Mega Man games, how you would basically do that would be you would beat one of the masters and you get their gun, which kind of gives you an ability. It's not how this game works. Basically, you go in, you can get, like, upgrades, and Roll will make you secret gun, or make you secret, but make you special guns, and you can equip them. So you can get, like, a blade, you can get, like, a huge sniper-esque gun cannon, which have limited energy. The problem I find with these weapons is that when it came to the original Mega Man games, like when I played X, you can switch by these games on the go. So I switch by these weapons on the go, like, yep, menu switch.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
you've got to go to roll every time. And I was like, to switch? I was like, fuck that. No, I can't be arsed. I'm just sticking with the pew, 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 pew. I'm just sticking with that. That's all I'm doing.
Yeah, and that's sort of like an RPG approach, like a 90s RPG approach, yeah. I think, to be like, okay, well, you have this sort of like hub, I guess you could call it, or a home base kind of thing. Go back to the home base and do a thing. And,
yeah,
you know, no, that's how
I'm
you
not
sort of
playing that game.
Yeah. And I just, you know, one, look, we're adults, or at least we pretend to be adults on our shows, but you know, we don't have the time to do that either. Like we want to play these games and experience them and talk to everybody and tell you about our time with them. But like at a certain point, spending basically what would end up being an extra 45 minutes probably of playtime to switch between all the different abilities and weapons that you have, it sounds fine to have the variety, but you got to make it easier. You're right. I think,
yeah,
like I'm not spending the extra time to do that most of the time. I did it a few times and I found it fairly enjoyable, but your playstyle changes, which I do understand a little bit at least. So I get that. Like that is good. There is variety, but it's just not good enough because everything is still clunky. Like it's not like all of a sudden, not like all of a sudden you have this like you mentioned, like sort of sniper sort of gun thing. Like you're going to play like everything so super differently. It's going to be so much easier. In some ways, it makes it harder sometimes. It's like, well, what's my incentive?
And the thing is, because you got those tank controls, it makes it more difficult to, you know, to get the game, well, the style of gameplay you want, like if you want to do with this weapon or this weapon. But if it does have a lock-on system, which that helps dramatically, the lock-on system. Holy shit, does the lock-on system work?
If it didn't, oh my god.
if it didn't have that lock-on system, holy shit. Like, again, this is pre-Ocarina, and I always thought Ocarina of Time did the lock-on system very well.
I agree.
The lock-on system very well, and it kind of gets you over the fact that you've got to kind of, you know, you've got to strafe around, or you've got to turn this fucking blue thing round. If you've got the auto thing, it automatically does it. I was like, oh, that saves a bit of a time. And again, with the controls, it's just practice. But I just thought, you know what? Pea shooter it is. I can't be arsed upgrading. And upgrading costs a lot of money.
It does. Like,
no.
Oh, my God.
Like, no. Like, I think I Googled something. I think one of the weapons, a weapon is like 2 million zenny. I was like, oh, fuck that.
Oh, come on. Yeah, right. That's wild.
And this is the problem as well. It's like when you because you've got these shitty controls, you beat enemies and money falls over all over the place, right? And you can collect the money and you're like, yeah, great, I'm going to collect the money. But because you've got tank controls, it's like, hang on, I'll get that money. Hang on, forward, back, forward, left, right, shit. And then the money starts disappearing. I was like, where are you disappearing?
Disappearing. Oh my God. I was about to talk about this part exactly, where it's just like, you know, there's currency and there's things that give you like health as well, drops, just like it does in every Mega Man game or any other sort of adventure game and stuff. But like these enemies explode or you defeat the boss or, you know, whatever it might be. And the things just spread everywhere. Like, why can't it just, like, suck into Mega Man? My God, I found sometimes I just left it. One, because things were... I really just looked for health, really. But one, because things were just, like, yes, hard to grab. But also, like you mentioned, like, if I feel like I'm never going to get to that currency sort of tier that I need to unlock the stuff, like, why am I even bothering trying over and over and over again? I could just... I just give me the health, you know, but
just give me what I want.
Yeah. Just give me what I want, which is the health. But sometimes, like you said, you can't even get it because it freaking disappears after a couple seconds.
When does that happen in real life? It's the whole, you know, when someone dies in a video game, they suddenly just fade away. It's like, when does that shit happen? If I threw money on the floor now, have I got like 10 seconds and then suddenly the money starts going, boop, 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 boop. Shit, it's gone. Shit.
Disappearing money in this economy? Like...
Yeah, fucking monies. We need that. Shit, that pays me rent. Well, shit.
Well, sorry, kids. Looks like we're not eating today.
Yeah, sorry, kid. I'll eventually look at hiccups one day. Goes, sorry, kid. You're dead. I'm gonna have to sacrifice you. Lord of the Flies esque.
What was I gonna say? Oh, so for the most part, the sort of basic enemies. I agree. You also said, I think it goes back to sort of like the style for art choice and art style is they generally look good enough, pretty good. I would say most of them are fairly good and designed well. The basic enemies for the most part, because you have the lock on, like you said, and stuff like they're fine. I think most of them are pretty easy to defeat. My issue with the sort of regular enemies was, yes, the lock-on is there, but anything that was like airborne constantly is really tough to kind of figure out where you're walking and stuff, because the camera kind of gets close to you, so I'll like fall off a cliff and then lose my aim and be like, oh shit, well now where do I go and where did that enemy go? Or like one particular mission early on in the game that I understood what they were doing with it and understood what to do, but there was a decent amount of these like things, these machines in the sky picking up tanks and dropping tanks in the middle of the city and trying to demolish town hall and the police station and stuff like that. It's fine. I kind of like, you know, don't put a timer on my mission, but give me a reason to go from this spot to that spot to sort of save people and save buildings and stuff. But to stop that from happening constantly, you had to destroy the things that were carrying all the tanks in. And I found it hard to shoot them because they were in the air. And then I found it hard to see them most of the time because that stupid fog we were talking about.
Yeah, because of the fog. And the problem is, if you don't destroy them, as I found out, this game is a fucking morality system.
Right.
People... It's basically the builder. If you don't stop buildings being damaged, they stay damaged. They obviously don't repair because they don't... You know, this is a video game. You should be repairing dramatically and automatically. You should be doing it now. But basically, people will treat you differently if you don't save them. It's like, oh, for fuck's sake, don't you're giving me shitty controls. I could barely do anything. A shitty aim. And now you're giving me a fucking morality system. I was like, oh, piss this.
Yeah,
This is so annoying.
And it didn't need it. You know, like this kind of game, you really don't have to add that kind of layer onto it. I agree. It felt unnecessary. They just shoehorned an RPG-like system in there. And it just stick with what they had. Like, that actually was a big enough thing to me that I was like, I don't want to think about this. Like, I don't want to think about that stuff. Can I just keep going through these areas and through these dungeons and just start defeating bosses and bad guys? Like, I don't need to worry about extra shit. Like, I just am already struggling to get through some of these missions. Yeah. Do I have to add that onto it?
All I wanted to, like, you know what this kind of felt like? I kind of got bored with the gameplay, and I just wanted to find out more about the story. And
it's kind of
like,
yep,
when Mortal Kombat games come out, like the new ones, like, I don't buy them, but I like to watch the story on YouTube.
Yep.
And it's like a two-hour movie. This was the same sort of thing. It's like, fuck the gameplay. I just want to watch what's going on in the plot because I'm intrigued with the plot. And it's like, I just want to get through this shitty dungeon just so I can get some more story. That's all I want.
Yeah.
I want my cartoon.
I'm 100%. Yeah, I want my cartoon. Exactly. And that's... You know, that's the high point of the game, is that stuff. It's not incredible, it's not the best, but it is definitely better than actually playing through the game. And I mentioned it before, too. It's like sometimes when you get to a boss or defeat a boss or leading up to it, even just like maybe a couple of scenes and stuff, I liked what surrounded the boss, and I enjoyed the bosses initially. But because, like I mentioned earlier, their health bars are so much larger, and like we've talked about, the shooting and all those types of things are not great. After like 2 minutes of a boss fight, I was like, okay, I'm done. Can we just move on? Like,
yeah,
I'm going to win this fight. I have more health than they do. I'm just running in circles, like you mentioned. Like, can I just get to the part where we talk to the guy after and we have sort of like a little cutscene thing? Like that, I wanted that instead. Like, just let me shoot them twice. Good enough. Let's move on.
Yeah, that's fun. And this is the thing. Like, you play, you're Mega Man Volnut, worst name ever. And he's like an anime, typical anime protagonist. I don't mind him. But the best thing about this game are the bad guys. And
they are.
Well, I say the bad guys. It's the Bon family. Holy shit, the Bon family. You've got Tron Bon, who is a female character around the same age as Roll, and basically her and Roll hate each other because they kind of both fancy Mega Man. But then I looked and I went, holy shit, Tron Bon, I know her from. And
yes. Are you going to say the same thing I'm going to say?
What?
Marvel vs. Capcom?
Yeah, Marvel vs. Capcom 2. I was like, holy shit.
Yes.
I was like, that's where she's from?
Yeah.
I was like... I'd never, because I knew when I saw Marvel vs. Capcom 2, I was like, okay, she's Mega Man, but I didn't know much more about that, and I was like, I've never, I've never seen her in Mega Man X. I've never seen her in the network games. But then I learn, yeah, she came from the Legends game. Ads did the serve bots, the little Lego little people who are so cool. I was like,
they're
cool.
Lego. They're 100% Lego, for sure.
It's like Lego mixed with minions. I was like, but they're cute enough not to be annoying. I was like, that's great. You are fine. I'm happy with you guys. And her design's great. Design's great. Her character's great. They're funny every time she comes on. But I think the best bit is the brother. My God. The brother's so funny. And the first time you see him, he's basically sitting in a library waiting for, like, I wonder what's going on here. I can trust Tron Bon. And that later on you see them all, like him and Tron, the whole like bad guy of the Bond family having this meeting, and they're sitting there having a coffee. I was like, this is funny as fuck.
It, I agree. And he's, like you said, great design too, you know, both of them. Like, it adds to it for sure. And the over-the-top sort of, you know, speech and the sort of very, I don't even know if it's anime acting or whatever, but it's
100% it is.
Yeah, it's very corny, but probably purposely corny, and it's over the top and whatever. But yeah, those two, or I guess that group in particular, like, is definitely the highlight. I am 100% on board with that. I totally agree.
I just love the fact, like, they're having, like, these family meetings, and it happens more than once. And yes, they're just sitting around having a coffee. I was like, right, what's the plan? I was like, this is fucking amazing. I was like, do you imagine if you had, like, Dr. Robotnik in the sidelines sitting there having, like, a conference call with a coffee? That'd be so funny to see.
I would love it.
Bad guys do. I'd love that. Like, Bat sitting there. Like, you know, you see in the recent film, Bowser's playing the piano. There must be moments where he's sitting there, he's like, right, everyone together, and he's got, like, this latte. He's like, right, okay, what's the plan? That's so funny. And the annoying thing is, I want to praise the older brother. I want to praise him so much, but I can't. I don't want to really say his name because I found out. I was like, oh, what's this guy off, the voice actor? He's not off much, and I'm not going to praise him because I eventually found out he was convicted of naughty things with children.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Of distributing naughty things with children. Not doing stuff, but distributing, which is still fucking horrendous.
Oh, my God.
And then he deleted himself afterwards. He went to prison and deleted himself. That's the history of him. So, I know. It goes dark, doesn't it? I was like, wow. Because if it had done that, I would have been singing a lot more. So yeah, fuck him.
Fair enough.
Fuck the voice actor.
Yeah,
to the ground.
Board. Yep, yep.
I don't know if he was on the second one. But it was just it's annoying because like when I found that out, I was like proper disheartened because I liked his performance, but then I went,
yeah,
right, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, there's a line. That's the line. There's
definitely a line.
Straight up crossed it.
And this is the thing. I like it when bad guys are interesting. I like it when there's more to them than that. But again, the only thing I wanted to see about this game was those two. I wanted to see what they were getting up to just because they were funny. The only problem, as I said earlier, was that it sounded like it was being spoke for a cushion, which was frustrating. And do you know what? I like the world it was trying to build. I know people said, oh, it's not Mega Man. It's not what it is. Well, yeah, it's not Mega Man. Mega Man Battle Network wasn't Mega Man. That was completely different if you ever played Battle Network on the GBA. That's so different. It's ridiculous.
I really want to try those games. They look interesting to me. I want to try them.
Like, that's not Mega Man-esque at all. That's a card game with, like, I don't know how you describe it. I don't know how the hell you describe Mega Man Battle Network. I loved it, but I hated the story, but I loved the gameplay, which is the complete reverse with this one. But I know people were desperate for a traditional Mega Man game on an N64. I get that. But the whole everyone wants to do 3D, you know, stepping away from 2D meant that maybe traditional Mega Man wasn't the way forward. And I know this game had a sequel and a prequel, a Tron Bon prequel. But I would love them to actually go back now and maybe try this again. Maybe try a new Legends game on a new, you know, on a Switch or something like that. And let's see how it does, because everyone would know this is what it's going to be like. It's going to be more RPG elemented. It's not going to be a traditional Mega Man game. But you can fix the camera. You can fix everything else about this game. And I think you can make it a decent game.
I agree. I think that if it had like a little bit of a touch up, even, you know, if they didn't fully remaster it, that's totally fine. But if you did modern controls, if you maybe changed a little bit of the systems with getting new weapons and abilities and stuff, like, I think that could potentially help it as well. But like, just modernize some of the stuff could be enough. I mean, keep the story the same, even keep the voice acting. It's totally fine. Like, just make it that game. That's fine. But yeah, if you change the way that this game played, some of those like minor things that they could change would add up to something so much better, I think. So
yeah,
I think that's what I'm on board. I agree.
I think it definitely would. And like, keep the mini games as well. Well, like, the only mini game I played in this was one where you're kicking a ball at, like, it's like a fairground ride, you know, like the best way to describe it, you know,
yeah.
Ducks are moving along. It's similar to that, but basically you've got like a man being chased by a dog and you've got to kick a ball at the dog. It's not a real dog. But because you can get your timing really well and it becomes a really trivial game. Then all of a sudden, as I was kicking these balls, a real dog came in and you kicked the real dog. I was like, holy shit, I've just kicked a dog.
Yeah, that. If anyone's still wondering where this game goes at times, that's the kind of places it goes.
Yeah, you're kicking a dog at a model dog. Proper launch. And this is Mega Man, so he's going to have this amazing kick. I was like, holy shit, that dog's probably just broken about 6 ribs.
Oh, like, my God. That poor thing.
He's just come for a cuddle and you've just gone, fuck off. Have it.
See ya, bud.
He's like, why? He's like, why, Mega Man? Why?
Yeah.
And Mega Man's like, what was that? Don't care. More balls to kick. Oh, here comes another dog.
Next. Next.
Fucking brutal. He's a cunt.
Hey man, as long as you win the prize, that's all that matters, I guess, right? Winning is everything, apparently. Is that Mega Man?
Winning. Imagine that. He gets his prize. Oh, you've won a cuddly toy and 6 dead dogs. Yeah.
This game would go there. It would go there. I feel like it could.
It would. And those bits, like doing stuff like that. Okay, I don't advocate for kicking dogs before anyone has a go at me, but it's so lighthearted when you think, what the fuck have I just done?
It's so strange. I love so much of this game. It's so strange. It's so strange.
Yeah. And considering, I said, I've gone into you, there are bits I like, there are bits I don't like. Seeing something like that just completely takes me out left field. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. And it made my time bearable playing. Yeah. And again, I'm not implying to make my time bearable, I go around kicking dogs.
It's in the context of this random part of this game. Absolutely.
There's no way I'm getting around this. I'm going to get like brought on to the Piers Morgan show. So you believe kicking dogs in video games is okay? Oh, for fuck's sake.
God damn it.
God damn it. I'm fucked. But yeah, it had boat. Oh, I've got to say, it had boat levels.
Yes. That's a great point. So those, I don't know what you thought. I thought they were okay. I was surprised. I thought I was going to hate them. Yeah.
No, I thought I would, but for the boat levels are okay. I thought you can't fuck up anything else, but they got that right.
Yeah, because I think because of the way that things control when you're on land, I guess you could say, because those felt so awkward somehow, like keeping you in place a little bit more. Worked better.
Yes.
Sadly.
Yeah, definitely. I think because it kind of, tank controls kind of work on a boat. It's like, oh yeah, that's how they actually move. So, yeah. Well, ish. So it's like, you can have that. I didn't mind the water levels. But again, it's another thing this game was trying. It was like, right, grab that, grab this, grab this. Boom! And we got a game. That's how it kind of worked.
Yeah, I agree. It's a lot of it is fairly awkward. You know, I don't mind the way things wrap up. It's just, you know, at least the boss at the end has some variety to it. You're not doing the exact same thing every sort of stage that the boss has. The story sort of goes places in the middle of the final boss fight. So I found, you know, like there's like story progression as you find the final boss and as you're fighting them. It's not, you know, anything super elaborate, but I was like, okay, I get it. This is kind of cool. Yeah, it just you know, when you're doing the, when you're fighting a long battle in this game, it just ends up feeling tedious either way. I just appreciated that at least for the most part, things were a little bit different here and there when it came to some of the boss fights, and that, that and the boat levels were probably the standouts to me.
Yeah,
but they're it's still not a fantastic game. I don't think it's the worst thing ever, but I, you know, it's not fantastic.
No, it isn't. But the final boss's design is awesome. Give it that. I was like, this is weird and fucked up. So weird and fucked up, but I liked it. I was like, okay, you can have that. That's really good. That's a really cool boss.
Another set of designs that made sense and worked.
Yeah,
I think that, and that those were the biggest standouts for it. Like you said, the story and a lot of the character design and models and stuff. Yeah, sure, they look a little chunky and things like that, but that's the time and that's totally fine. And to me, that part works. So,
yeah, and yeah, look, would I play it again? No, I'm kind of glad I'm done with that now. I was like, fuck, I'm glad this is done. But would I want to play a sequel? A Mega Man Legends 3? Yes, would. I would like to play a Legends 3. I'd say the Legends 2 is probably very similar. But I want to play Legends 3, make a new world. I don't know why they haven't.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, like, whether they, like, remade this one or remade one of the ones in this series and sort of touched it up, like we mentioned, or made a new one and made it a sequel or prequel or whatever, I would give it a shot. I think I would give it a shot, but I don't think that this is a game that you go back to. I really don't, because it's clunky, it doesn't control well, the story's good enough, but it's not going to make me want to experience it all over again because of everything that happens around the story, which is the gameplay, and the gameplay is very so-so at best.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, and I think it is very so-so. But what I will say, this game has now made me want to go back to Marvel vs. Capcom 2, to Marvel vs. Capcom 3, and play as Trombone.
Dude, I played as her. Yeah, she was in my rotation in 2, like fairly consistently. I just liked the way she played, and yeah, I honestly thought the exact same thing when I first saw her and they said the name. I was like, oh my god. All right, Marvel vs. Capcom. I haven't loaded it back up, but I am tempted now. I'm with you.
Yeah, and the thing is, if you look at Marvel vs. Capcom 3, Mega Man's not even in it.
Oh, he's not in 3? I don't remember that. Oh, my God.
Zero is. Trombone is, but Mega Man himself isn't in.
Yeah, that's so weird. That is so... That and makes no sense.
And I don't know if somebody's added him in, because I've been a big advocate of the amount of characters they've added in. Hang on, is it X3? Hang on, who's that? Oh, it's X3. It looks like X3. I don't know who they even... Is it? I didn't even know. Either way, I need to play some more Marvel vs. Capcom. I really do.
Yeah.
I think they added him in. I think they added him in later. Possibly. I need to find that out. Either way, I want to play some more Trombone. I want to play some more Trombone, because she's so cool.
I'm with you.
She's fucking amazing. So, if you're going to be scoring this, then, out of 10, what are you giving it?
Let's see. It's tough, because there are a lot of ups and downs to it. There's a lot of stuff I enjoy, or enjoyed enough, and there's a lot of stuff that just didn't work. And I think, unfortunately, because the gameplay is just so average for me, and the story is there, but I'm not a massive anime person or whatever, I think a 4 or a 5 is where I would sit with this, honestly. Like, it's not great. It's not great. I'm going to lean towards a 5 and be a little bit generous because of the things we talked about. But that's the most I can sit with, is giving it a 5.
Yeah, I'm probably going to give it a 5 as well. And the frustrating thing was, if I was playing Mega Man Legends, if you asked me to do Mega Man Legends, I would have given this game higher because I could have seen it from the point of view of the time it was from. But the fact that it's on the N64 3 to 4 years later, and it's not as good, takes it lower, definitely.
Yeah, that is a very, very good point. Absolutely. I think you're definitely onto something there. Sure, for sure. Thank you, as always, for joining me on Remember 64. And as always, of course, thank you to Danny for coming on the show as well. Check out Retro Wars on your podcast feed and on social media. Danny does such a great job, has so many great insights, plays a variety of different games. It's definitely not just the N64. Really worth listening to. The guy is just a joy to work with and a joy to talk to. So look forward to more episodes of the two of us as well coming in the coming weeks and months. But until next time, everyone, thank you so much for joining me on this continued nerdy journey of Remember 64. Go bust out some retro games, everyone. We'll talk to you soon.